of Shabbat, and we will work based on a work called Shemirat Shabbat Hilchata. And the work Shemirat Shabbat Hilchata was written by Rav Yoshua Neuberg, who's a rabbi in Beit Vegan, a disciple of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, of blessed memory. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to learn this work with his wife on Shabbos afternoon, because the laws of Shabbos is something which one must review repeatedly. It's not easy to retain, and the Mishnah Brura writes in his introduction that if you really want to know the laws of Shabbos, you have to learn and learn and learn them, and he who does not learn them desecrates every Shabbos. Does not keep a single Shabbos. We're going to have to do something which is really improper, and that is to skip introductions and letters of approbation. Really, you should never learn a work without reading the introduction and letters of approbation. Sometimes in the letters of approbation it says, and this is really a work which I'm not so certain should be printed, but being that the author asked me to give him a letter of approbation, so I'll give him a letter. You never know what's written there. Just because someone's signature is there doesn't mean anything. You have to read. We are doing something improper by skipping it. But we have no choice. We have to cover the ground. You guys have to cover the laws. I leave it for you as homework to read it. Over the next week or two, make sure to get that covered. Both the introduction and the letters of approbation.
Have it in English?
I think this book exists in English, and I would hope they translated those letters and the introduction as well. Okay, we're going to begin with the first chapter. For the sake of brevity, we will have to skip most of the footnotes, which is another big no-no, but we have to get a basic idea of Shabbos, and I hope that we will have the good fortune to learn for many more years to come together, and then we will be able to learn this with greater depth. But for now, as an overview, we will begin. And the first chapter focuses on the laws of Bishul B'Shabbat, cooking on Shabbos. And we have to know that this is a generic term, cooking on Shabbos. It will encompass turning on a light. Turning on a light is a form of cooking on Shabbos, really. The definition of cooking and the definition of many terms that we will use is halachic. So as we learn, we will define them. And the first point that he tells us is that cooking and roasting and frying and baking, anytime you prepare an item for eating through the heat of a fire or a derivative of the heat of a fire, that is included in the prohibition of cooking on Shabbat. Now, what temperature must the food reach in order to have transgressed? If I take I have my plot, I have a fire, let's say I have a fireplace, and I have a guest, he takes his cup of coffee, it's cooled off, and he takes a little hanger and holds the cup of coffee over the fireplace to reheat it. I walk into the room and I say, no! He pulls out the cup from the fireplace. He says, Rabbi, have I sinned? I say, well, stick your finger into the coffee and see how hot it's become. That will determine whether you have transgressed the prohibition of cooking. And he says, well, how hot does it have to be? Answer, if the food has attained the heat that is called yad soledes bo, that the hand is scorched by it, the hand pulls back. If one would pull his hand back, and that is no less than 45 degrees Celsius. What is 45 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit? For us Americans, 45 times 9 fifths is 81, plus 32 is 113 Fahrenheit. So, yad soledes bo.
What if people have different temperatures that they can withstand? Okay.
What?
What about people who have like different temperatures they can like, stamp on their head? Is this taking an average of just general? Or is
it's
it, like,
a good question. We can't go into it. We will assume for now that the halacha is this, and that this is the rule for everyone. Up to once the food item reaches 45 degrees Celsius, we have reached not boiling point, but halachic cooking point. That is the point at which food cooks. Fahrenheit, 113. Halacha Beitz. We have to discern between different vessels and different actions when we speak about cooking on Shabbos. And here we approach the concept of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, and Irui. Kli Rishon is the first vessel, and that is the vessel that was on the fire. The vessel in which the water or the item was brought to the heating point, in which you heated the item. Notice that we are not gauging based upon temperature. We are gauging based upon which vessel. Is it the vessel in which the food was brought to Yad Soledes Bo? What is that, the vessel in which the food was heated? That is called the Kli Rishon. If it is the vessel into which I poured the food or liquid, so I have a hot water kettle, right? I have a tea kettle sitting on the fire. That tea kettle is a Kli Rishon. I pour from the kettle into my cup. My cup just became a Kli Sheni. I pour from that cup into a third vessel. That third vessel is called the Kli Shlishi. Notice my first vessel was the kettle. Now, we have halachic relevance as to, let's say, I will take a noodle and put it into the tea kettle. That tea kettle cooks with a certain strength because it is a Kli Rishon. Let's say I put it into the cup. That cooks with a certain strength because it is a Kli Sheni. Let's say I put it into the second cup, what's called the third vessel, Kli Shlishi, that has other strength or weaknesses. Then there is the strength of the water being poured from the vessel, Irui. When I pour it straight from the tea kettle, is that considered like the tea kettle, or like the cup, or somewhere in between? And when I pour it from cup number one to cup number two, is that considered like cup number one, or cup number two, or somewhere in between? How much does it cook? And that is where we will pick up the Zachem tomorrow night.